in our society, it is a priority to let people know that they made a mistake, because we think it's necessary to let the people learn that by correcting them. But how do you feel when someone calls you out, even if it's in a gentle way? I normally feel shameful, embarrassed, guilty, and sometimes I even feel angry and frustrated. Maybe because I was feeling like I was doing the right thing, or because I didn't get enough information in order to achieve what I needed to achieve. Very few times I feel good when someone says that I shouldn't have done something, or I should have done differently. That should is a very difficult word to work with. This inhibits any kind of learning and has a huge impact in the process of achieving our goals. However, this is so ingrained in our society that it is difficult to change our brains. It's difficult to find a different way to do this that's not going to have this impact in our mental health and also in our goals. And I work with this myself every day. I'm very, very, very careful to not shut down other people, not shut down other animals when I'm trying to repair any kind of damage that was done, or even control the damage that could be done. This could be that I gave a certain instruction to the client or to another person, and this person maybe did in a completely different way. And even my partner at home, sometimes he puts the cups on the mug cupboard, and I'm like, God, what have I done to deserve this? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what is the situation. Depending on the way you approach this, you will have different results, or you might have results that look like the person shutting down, your dog walking away from you, maybe being frustrated, maybe being fearful. And the question that we're going to try to answer today is, what is the most effective and best way to get your results in dog training when the learner, the dog, the person, is doing something you didn't want them to do? And the answer is always to divert the attention from the mistake to new instructions. Sometimes you can even point like, oh, we did in this way, I think we should do in this way. And then the instructions comes after that. And I like to use human examples first so you guys can connect with the experiences that I am describing. And this is gonna help you to understand a little bit better. If I ask a person to, for example, to not approach other dogs, or to not leave the dog alone, or any other situation, so let's say, for example, they are going for walks and I would like more space between people and dogs, and the person doesn't cross the street, something like that. Two things have happened there. I ask the person to do something and the person didn't do what I wanted. Okay, so we're talking about those scenarios. And there is two possibilities. The person might have not understood the instructions, or could be that they chose to do something else despite my advice. And here is when it comes to the reflection. In both situations, I have no control over the outcome, right? But I do have control over my actions. That's the only thing I can do. I can only control how I respond in order to get the results that I want. And I have two options here. I can correct them. I can say, cannot believe you did this. We need to do another way, and make them feel like crap, because possibly this will motivate them to follow the advice. But the reason why they are following the advice is to not feel ashamed or guilty again. Or I can find a different way to give instructions. And at this point, it's important to think that you need to change something if you're going to give instructions again. Okay? You are trying to communicate properly, and leave no room for misunderstanding. But on top of that, you need to be able to motivate this person to do this specific action, right? Same thing with our dogs. So let's put this in dogs' terms. So, for example, when a dog jumps on someone, and as a response, you go and say no, or you shout, or use a correction in the lead, then the dog might stop jumping up. But the reason why the dog stopped is because it felt fearful, or maybe put the paws on the floor because wanted you to stop pulling on the lead because it was hurting. So next time you meet another person, or your dog meets another person, what should your dog do? Most of the time, the dogs don't understand what they should be doing in that moment. They just are having feedback on jumping up leads to blah, 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 blah. Behold, how do I greet this person? So my question for you here in this situation is, does your dog know how to access attention in a polite way that you approve is exactly what you want, and your dog can have all the interaction they want? Or are you ignoring your dog until your dog makes a mistake so then you can correct? Two very different things. Sometimes we are not preparing ourselves, we are not planning anything, and then our dog makes a mistake. It's predictable. We knew it was going to happen. We almost anticipated it, but we didn't do anything about it. We just waited until it happened so we could say, this is not what I want. Now imagine in human situations again, this is really, really uncomfortable, right? Imagine if you were in a relationship at work, maybe, where you do things correctly, no one tells you anything about that because that is expected from you. And then it just happens a lot in parenting. I just realized that maybe a better example is parenting. But imagine that in those two situations, then when you do something that is not what they wanted, then they are very loud about that. That doesn't feel good. A thing that I hear a lot when those things happened is, my dog knows it, but chooses not to do it. If your dog is motivated and your dog knows what to do, most likely your dog gonna do it. So next time you think, my dog knows it, but chooses not to do, I would invite you to stop a second and go, maybe one of those two things is not correct. So most likely, come from the principle that most likely your dog doesn't know. And what you are doing is not motivating your dog to keep the paws on the floor. Okay? And this is a super long conversation. I'm not gonna get into that. Maybe I should do an episode about that. Let me know what you think. Should we talk about this? I can go really in depth of this. Let me know. You can send me a DM and we can talk about that as well. But think of this as when you give new instructions, you're able to motivate your dog. Let's say maybe you're most able to motivate your dog with food or with play or with attention. Your dog is really wanting that reinforcement that you want to give, and you're able to give clear instructions, most likely you're going to have foot on the floor, foot paws on the floor. And it is as simple as that. But obviously, the plan that you need to build in order to give clear instructions and in order to motivate your dog, this is when it is a bit more. And let's not call it complicated, because I don't find training complicated. I just find that there is loads of details that we overlook. Let's say that. So now that we understood that probably your dog doesn't know what to do and probably is not motivated to do what you want them to do, let's go into what are the consequences to correct in training and what are the consequences to give new instructions, okay? So if I have, let me use a real example. I work with a dog, I'm gonna call this dog Silly, okay? So Silly used to bark at dogs in the streets and be very reactive. And every time she did that, the caregiver would shout at her and correct her in the lead, right? So the correction in the lead, the idea behind it is to make the dog uncomfortable and the shout as well, right? So the dog stopped the behavior. Possibly Silly felt really uncomfortable in those situations because after a few times that the caregiver started doing this, she started looking at the caregiver while she barked, and she would be carrying as well. So she would contract the muscles, go a little bit lower, almost expecting the pain from the corrections in the lead or the shout to come. And this is important for you, is a very important part of this story, because pay attention that the bark didn't go away. We just added fear to that. So now the dog, rather than maybe barking forward, is barking and twisting the body facing the caregiver. So the dog was anticipating something bad was going to happen. And this is important for us to notice. If you start noticing that your dog is anticipating something when you are in situations like similar situations, the dog sees another dog, maybe looks at you to get a treat or something like that, this is good. This is when we know learning is happening. But in this case, learning is happening for something we didn't want it to happen. We didn't want the dog to be fearful of the caregiver, right? And this happened because of the corrections. I see similar things to this happening every single day with the dogs. And in Silly's case, what we did was to change the way that the caregiver gave instructions before she even started barking. And now Silly is capable of walking past dogs in the road without barking. This is really important. Really, really, really important. Because before we saw learning happening, but it was not the behavior we wanted. Now that the caregiver gave clear instructions, the dog is able to show calm behaviors like walking on the lead by the side of the caregiver, checking on a dog, and then just paying attention and focusing on the caregiver as well. So all those behaviors are being reinforced and now she can do those behaviors reliably, right? So my point here is that the dogs don't need to be told when they are wrong, but they do need new instructions if your last ones didn't work. So I want to phrase here, guys, that the corrections they have are psychological, they can cause some psychological damage and your dog can start fearing you. So when your dog does something wrong, think about, rather than correcting the behaviors, think about how can I give new, different and clear instructions? Because this is the best way to avoid any kind of setbacks in the training. Because imagine now, Silly went from barking to barking, carrying and wanting to walk away from the caregiver. Now I have to work with many more behaviors rather than just barking. So this can, corrections can have setbacks in your training. And they can impact quite a lot the behavior change that you are trying to achieve. So if you want a sustainable behavior transformation, then it's much, much better for you to give clear instructions. And by clear instructions, what I mean is things like you can train in different situations, teach your dog how to do, for example, a hand touch in a situation that is not outside, in case you want to use on a recall, for example. So you could train inside the house, you can train in your garden, you could train in the streets, and then train in the park around without any distractions, and then around distractions. So this way, you're giving very clear instructions and you're communicating what you want from your dog, and your dog is being able to do those things, and you're being able to reinforce that as well. So it's really important that we reinforce the behavior, because otherwise, how the behavior gonna grow, right? So if you are asking for things, your dog are not doing them, you're not being able to reinforce. And if you're not being able to reinforce, then you're not getting the behavior that you want. And if you're not getting the behavior that you want, most likely you're not gonna get the behavior that you want when you really need the behavior, when there is more distractions, there's bigger difficulties, things like that. So I really want you to think that the corrections, a really good way to correct your dog's behavior is to give new instructions, right? So your dog made a mistake, you can just breathe and think, how can I make this a bit more clear? Maybe you're going to change this, maybe you're going to change that, maybe you're going to change the environment, maybe you're going to change the treat, you're going to change the cue, I'm going to change whatever. And then I'm going to try again when the instructions are more clear, right? So in training, when something goes wrong, we always go into planning rather than solving in the moment. If you're solving in the moment, most likely you are applying punishment, because then you're trying to stop the behavior. I hope that makes sense. So I hope you liked this episode. If you did, then please review the podcast. I would love to hear from you, know what you're thinking about our episodes and what you want to hear more about. You can also message me on Instagram. And if you want to know more about trainings, about classes, group classes, one-to-one, things like that, you can search on my website. And I hope to see you very soon.